Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 930. The Troop and Confabanda, part 9. Alpha Males, part 3, subtitled German Ostpolitik, part 3. In For the Record 929, we briefly looked at a comment by Nigel Farage, the head of the UK Independence Party, and a supporter of Donald Trump, and someone who also networks with Stephen K. Bannon, the alt-right former head of Breitbart, who is now the manager of the Trump campaign. And with regard to Donald Trump's orations concerning women, and what he had done, could do, or would like to do to them, Nigel Farage attributed that to the kind of locker room talk that alpha males engage in. This past week, a story emerged that a server that was not Donald Trump's email server or internet service provider, but one registered to the Trump campaign, or the Trump organization, I should say, had been communicating with servers in Russia registered to something called the Alpha Bank. That's spelled A-L-F-A. The Alpha Bank is part of the Alpha Consortium in Russia. Now, the breaking of this story in a very fine piece of work by Franklin Foyer, F-O-E-R, I may be mispronouncing that. This from Slate Magazine from October 31st of 2016, was a Trump server communicating with Russia, again by Franklin Foyer. This article is very important and is a very important piece of research, and yet, at the same time, it does not appear to me that Mr. Foyer, nor others really understand what is going on here. For although the author has done a terrific job here, along with some tech experts, of getting to the bottom of the nature of this relationship between a server registered to the Trump organization and some Alpha Bank servers in Russia, it does not appear to me that he understands the nature of what is going on. Indeed, this whole thing is in the context of disinformation about the new Cold War. This is all about Russia and Putin, and, you know, is Trump an ally of Russia, or is Russia trying to influence our elections, etc., etc.? And the actual nature of Alpha Bank and its related elements is one of not only fascism, but the underground Reich, heavily networked with organized crime elements in Russia and around the world, and also heavily networked with major powers within the Republican Party, including people associated with George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of drug trafficking, the Iran-Contra scandal, organized crime in Chechnya, and public relations and security firms linked to the GOP. But at the foundational level, it appears that Alpha is a Russian subsidiary element of the Borman Network. Indeed, there is an Alpha, spelled A-L-F-A, fellowship that is part of the fellowship program run by the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft, or Karl Duisberg Society. We have spoken about that in For the Record 484 and in number 761. It was the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft that was used, or that basically trafficked Mohammed Atta from Egypt into Hamburg, Germany, and very possibly from there into the U.S., where Mohammed Atta was hanging out, according to the Bundeskriminalamt, the German federal police, with the sons and, in one case, the daughter of prominent German industrialists. In For the Record 530 and again in For the Record 573, we dealt with the Alpha Bank. Those programs were titled Alpha Males, Parts 1 and 2, subtitled One Hell of a Conspiracy Theory, Parts 1 and 2. Indeed, this is extremely complex. There will be links and synopses to both of those programs. However, I want to plunge right in. Note that this basically appears to be at the Alpha organization at a commercial level, part of the business and the corporate end of German Ostpolitik, part of the way of opening up post-Soviet Russia and other elements of the former Soviet Union to networking with Bormann-connected businesses. And I include powerful elements of the Republican milieu in that. There is way too much information and far too complex an array of individuals and institutions to go into here. We're going to excerpt For the Record 530 and 573. However, in the interests of time, I'm going to leave a lot of the work to the description for this show and the descriptions and audio files, the complete descriptions and audio files for 530 and 573. The article, which has been roundly attacked officially, quote, discredited, unquote. However, I don't think the official discreditations really hold up under scrutiny. The article is from Slate, from S-L-A-T-E, from October 31st of 2016. The article by Franklin Foyer, F-O-E-R, was a Trump server communicating with Russia. I'm talking about the group of elite computer scientists and malware hunters. In July, one of these scientists, who asked to be referred to as T. Lee's, a pseudonym that would protect his relationship with the networks and banks that employ him to sift their data, found what looked like malware emanating from Russia. The destination domain had Trump in its name, which of course attracted T. Lee's attention. But his discovery of the data was pure happenstance. A surprising needle in a large haystack of DNS lookups on his screen. Quote, I have an outlier here that connects to Russia in a strange way, he wrote in his notes. He couldn't quite figure it out at first, but what he saw was a bank in Moscow that kept irregularly pinging a server registered to the Trump Organization on Fifth Avenue. Skipping down. The researchers quickly dismissed their initial fear that the logs represented a malware attack. The communication wasn't the work of bots. The irregular pattern of server lookups actually resembled the pattern of human conversation, conversations that began during office hours in New York and continued during office hours in Moscow. It dawned on the researchers that this wasn't an attack, but a sustained relationship between a server registered to the Trump Organization and two servers registered to an entity called Alpha Bank. Again, that's ALFA. That is part of the Alpha conglomerate with more connections than a switchboard. It appears to be a Russian and Eastern European branch of the Bormann Organization. Continuing, the researchers had initially stumbled in their diagnosis because of the odd configuration of Trump's server. Quote, I have never seen a server set up like that, says Christopher Davis, who runs the cybersecurity firm HYAS InfoSec Incorporated and won an FBI Director Award for Excellence for his work tracking down the authors of one of the world's nastiest botnet attacks. Quote, it looked weird, and it didn't pass the sniff test, unquote. The server was first registered to Trump's business in 2009 and was set up to run consumer marketing campaigns. It had a history of sending mass emails on behalf of Trump-branded properties and products. Researchers were ultimately convinced that the server had indeed belonged to Trump. But now, this capacious server handled a strangely small load of traffic, such a small load that it would be hard for a company to justify the expense and trouble it would take to maintain it. Quote, "I get more mail in a day than the server handled," unquote, Davis says. That wasn't the only oddity. When the researchers pinged the server, they received error messages. They concluded that the server was set to accept only incoming communication from a very small handful of IP addresses. Skipping down again. 87% of the DNS lookups involved the two Alpha Bank servers. Quote, "It's pretty clear that it's not an open mail server," Camp told me. "These organizations are communicating in a way designed to block other people out," unquote. Earlier this month, the group of computer scientists passed the logs to Paul Vixie, V-I-X-I-E. In the world of DNS experts, there's no higher authority. Vixie wrote central strands of the DNS code that makes the Internet work. After studying the logs, he concluded, quote, "The parties were communicating in a secretive fashion. The operative word is secretive. This is more akin to what criminal syndicates do if they are putting together a project," unquote. Put differently, the logs suggested that Trump and Alpha had configured something like a digital hotline connecting the two entities, shutting out the rest of the world, and designed to obscure its own existence. Over the summer, the scientists observed the communications trail from a distance. While the researchers went about their work, the conventional wisdom about Russian interference in the campaign began to shift. There were reports that the Trump campaign had ordered the Republican Party to rewrite its platform position on Ukraine. It goes on to, again, cast this whole thing in the context of the new Cold War. But as we're going to see, there is something different going on here. Skipping down again. In the parlance that has become familiar since the Edward Snowden revelations, the DNS logs reside in the realm of metadata. We can see a trail of transmissions, but we can't see the actual substance of the communications, and we can't even say with complete certitude that the servers exchanged emails. Skipping down. I put the question of what kind of activity the logs recorded to the University of California's Nicholas Weaver, W-E-A-V-E-R, another computer scientist not involved in compiling the logs. Quote, "I can't attest to the logs themselves," he told me, "but assuming they are legitimate, they do indicate effectively human-level communication," unquote. Skipping down again. "It's possible to impute political motives to the computer scientists, some of whom have criticized Trump on social media, but many of the scientists who talked to me for this story are Republicans. Almost all have strong incentives for steering clear of controversy. Some work at public institutions where they are vulnerable to political pressure. Others work for firms that rely on government contracts, a relationship that tends to squash positions that could be misinterpreted as outspoken." There is then discussion, and frankly sanitized discussion, of Pyotr Avin, A-V-E-N, and Mikhail Friedman, F-R-I-D-M-A-N. They're made out to be oligarchs and allies of Putin. In fact, they are people with strong links to the Russian organized crime milieu and evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of September 11th. Skipping down again. Tea Leaves and his colleagues plotted the data from the logs on a timeline. What it illustrated was suggestive. The conversation between the Trump and Alpha servers appeared to follow the contours of political happenings in the U.S. At election-related moments, the traffic peaked, according to Camp. There were considerably more DNS lookups, for instance, during the two conventions. Skipping down again. In September, the scientists tried to get the public to pay attention to their data. One of them posted a link to the logs in a Reddit thread. Around the same time, the New York Times' Eric Nichblau and Stephen Lee Myers began chasing the story, and they are still pursuing it. Nichblau met with a Washington representative of Alpha Bank on September 21st, and the bank denied having any connection to Trump. The Times hadn't yet been in touch with the Trump campaign. Nichblau spoke with the campaign a week later, but shortly after it reached out to Alpha, the Trump domain name in question seemed to suddenly stop working. When the scientists looked up the host, the DNS server returned a fail message, evidence that it no longer functioned. The computer scientists believed there was one logical conclusion to be drawn. The Trump Organization shut down the server after Alpha was told the Times might expose the connection. Weaver told me the Trump domain was, quote, very sloppily removed, unquote. Or, as another of the researchers put it, it looked like, quote, the knee was hit in Moscow, the leg kicked in New York, unquote. 4 days later, on September 27th, the Trump Organization created a new host named trump1.contact-client.com, which enabled communication to the very same server via a different root. When a new host name is created, the first communication with it is never random. To reach the server after the resetting of the host name, the sender of the first inbound mail has to first learn of the name somehow. It's simply impossible to randomly reach a renamed server. That party had to have some kind of outbound message through SMS, phone, or some non-internet channel they used to communicate the new configuration, Paul Vixey told me. The first attempt to look up the revised host name came from Alpha Bank. If this was a public server, we would have seen other traces, Vixey says. The only lookups came from this particular source, unquote. According to Vixey and others, the new host name may have represented an attempt to establish a new channel of communication. But media inquiries into the nature of Trump's relationship with Alpha Bank, which suggested that their communications were being monitored, may have deterred the parties from using it. Soon after the New York Times began to ask questions, traffic between the servers stopped cold. And again, almost the complete article is in the description for the record 929.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at spitfirelist.com, also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
Now, we're going to listen to an excerpt from For the Record 530 and get a bit of background on Alpha Bank and its many of the Alpha conglomerate. It's not just Alpha Bank. Alpha Bank is part of a conglomerate. Note that there is an Alpha Fellowship on the same page as the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft Fellowship that was used to traffic Mohammed Atta from Egypt into Germany and possibly from Germany into the U.S. I would note that the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft has overt and powerful links to German industry and finance, thereby inevitably the Bormann Organization. And beyond that, there is another fellowship on the same page, the Robert Bosch Foundation Fellowship, one of which was awarded to John P. Schmitz. He is one of the sons of John G. Schmitz and a brother of Joseph E. Schmitz, former Inspector General of the Pentagon, head of the parent company of Blackwater after that, and a key advisor to the Trump campaign, or to Donald Trump. We looked at him in the For the Record program 918, 919, and 920. And there is an Alpha Foundation Fellowship as well. And again, far from being a Kremlin, Putin, Russia, new Cold War, etc., rather, this appears to be a manifestation of German Ostpolitik and should be seen against the background of what we spoke about in For the Record 918, 919, and 929. So let's go back to For the Record 530 from October of 2005 and listen to a discussion of the Alpha Fellowship.
Now, on the Carl Duisberg Society website, there is another related program called Alpha Fellowship Program. And this relates to the Alpha, the Crown Alpha Group in Russia. Alpha is a major Russian oil company with, again, more connections than a switchboard. And they have, and under the auspices of the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft, or Carl Duisberg Society, they have an Alpha Fellowship Program for Russians to come to the United States. And this is associated with the Alpha Company. Now, that is an interesting company, too. What we're going to look at here is a report from the Public Eye from August 2nd of 2000, Dateline, Washington. Listen to where this Alpha company, again, which has a fellowship sponsored under the auspices, apparently, of CDS, who is trafficking around Mohammed Atta. Reading now from the Public Eye of August 2nd, 2000. Under the guidance of Richard Cheney, a get-the-government-out-of-my-face conservative Halberton company over the past 5 years has emerged as a corporate welfare hog, benefiting from at least $3.8 billion in federal contracts and taxpayer-insured loans. Check this out, Daniel. One of these loans was approved in April by the U.S. Export-Import Bank. It guaranteed $489 million in credits to a Russian oil company whose roots are embedded in a legacy of KGB and Communist Party corruption, as well as drug trafficking and organized crime funds, according to Russian and U.S. sources and documents. Those claims are hotly disputed by the Russian oil firm's holding company. Halberton, which lobbied for the Ex-Im loan after the State Department initially asserted that the deal would run counter to the, quote, national interest, unquote, will receive $292 million of those funds to refurbish a massive Siberian oil field owned by the Russian company, the Tyumen Oil Company, which is controlled by a conglomerate called the Alpha Group, okay, which has a fellowship program under the auspices of CDS. Skipping down here, this gets very, very interesting indeed. First of all, about the Alpha Group here, and I'm editing just a bit here as we go, about some documentation about Alpha. That document and the FSB, that's the Russian Intelligence Service, the successor to the KGB, that document and the FSB report claimed that Alpha Bank, one of Russia's largest and most profitable, as well as Alpha Eco, a trading company, again, this is associated with the Alpha conglomerate, had been deeply involved in the early 1990s in laundering of Russian and Colombian drug money and in trafficking drugs from the Far East to Europe. The former KGB major, who with the fall of communism in the late 1980s had himself been involved in the plan by the KGB and Communist Party to loot state enterprises, said that Alpha Bank was founded with party and KGB funds and quickly attracted rogue agents who had served in anti-organized crime units. Quote, they, the rogue agents on the bank's payroll, quickly determined that dealing in drugs would bring the highest profits with literally no risk in Russia, according to the former KGB officer. He claimed that a, quote, large channel of heroin transit was established from Burma through Laos, Vietnam, to the Far East, Siberia, unquote. From there, the drugs were camouflaged as flour and sugar shipments and forwarded on to Germany. The drug operation was controlled by a Chechen mob family, he said. Of course, Chechnya is now a focal point of a lot of Islamic fundamentalist guerrilla activity. More about this network, and again, this overlaps the Carl Duisberg Society. The FSB document claims that by the end of 1993, a top Alpha official met with Gilberto Rodriguez Orihuela, O-R-E-J-U-E-L-A, the now-imprisoned financial mastermind of Colombia's notorious Cali cartel, quote, to conclude an agreement about the transfer of money into Alpha Bank from offshore zones such as the Bahamas, Gibraltar, and others. The plan was to insert it back into the Russian economy through the purchase of stock in Russian companies, unquote. The account from the former KGB officer is unclear about Alpha's alleged role with Rodriguez, but apparently confirms that, quote, in 1993 and 4, there were attempts of the so-called chess player, Rodriguez's nickname, to launder and legalize large amounts of criminal money in Russia. He reported that there was evidence, quote, regarding Alpha Bank's involvement with the money laundering of Latin American drug cartels. Now, this is the group for which Cheney's Halliburton Oil was getting an export-import bank loan. Still more about Tyumen Oil, that is a subsidiary of Alpha. Tyumen could have significant access to the White House should the Bush-Cheney ticket win in the November presidential elections. Tyumen's lead attorney at Akin Gump is James C. Langdon Jr., a managing partner at the firm. He is also one of George W. Bush's pioneers, one of the elite fundraisers who have brought in at least $100,000 for the Republican presidential hopeful. So how do you like those apples there, Daniel? A lot of interesting connections. This is the same network we're talking about, this global network. Still more from Forbes magazine. I realize I'm going quickly, but we got time limitations. From Forbes magazine of November 15th of 04, basically the Crown Alpha Group, this same entity, was involved with the funky oil for food deals that are now the focal point of UN investigations and others. Again, by Michael Maiello from Forbes magazine, about the Rondo, as they call it. One, Alpha buys 1 million barrels of cheap Iraqi oil in Ceyhan, Turkey at $25 a barrel. Step two, Alpha sells the oil to its subsidiary, Crown Trade and Finance, for $25.59. Step three, Crown, that's part of Alpha, sells the oil to ExxonMobil for $27.78 at an 11% profit. The hard-to-trace proceeds now reside in Gibraltar, a secretive tax haven. And still more about some of the tributaries coming out of this network, skipping down in the Forbes article. One of the companies involved with this Alpha Crown Rondo, as they say, and again, this company got a whole bunch of, got millions of dollars secured courtesy of the pressure of Dick Cheney's Halliburton Oil. That is a company, a Houston-based company called Bay Oil. A favorite Rondo cost customer and at a point of entry to the U.S. market was a Houston company, Bay Oil. And skipping down, during the 1980s Iran-Iraq War, Bay Oil apparently got a fee of $2 a barrel for brokering 20 million barrels of Iraqi oil to the Chilean arms dealer Carlos Cardoen, as recounted in Forbes of January 30, 1995. Now, Carlos Cardoen is a name that will ring very familiar to those students of 1980s covert operations. He was one of the principals in the Iraqgate scandal, overseen, like Iran-Contra, by the elder George Bush, securing American arms for Saddam Hussein, just as we were selling arms to the Iranians during that war.
Again, this is a very complex concatenation. That, by the way, was from For the Record 530 from October of 2005.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
We're going to go to, For the Record, 573. Again, if a lot of this does not sound... if it's difficult to understand, that's because it is supposed to be difficult to understand. What we're looking at is an overtly conspiratorial milieu. Now we're going to go to, For the Record, 573. In addition to the Alpha Foundation, which is part of the same fellowship, the foundation fellowships that were used by Mohammed Atta and by James P. Schmidt, who used the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft and the Robert Bosch Foundation Fellowship, respectively. There is the Alpha Foundation, the Alpha Fellowship on the same page. We're also going to take a look in this at relationships between Piotr Avon and Mikhail Friedman and a Czech national named Viktor Kozeny, K-O-Z-E-N-Y, nicknamed the Pirate of Prague. Kozeny employed as a pirate a guy named Wolfgang Boringer, who was one of Mohammed Atta's German associates in South Florida. In our many discussions with Daniel Hopsicker, whose heroic work on Huffman Aviation and the international criminal milieu in South Florida, of which Mohammed Afsa and company were part. He went into Victor Kozemi, I keep mispronouncing the name as though it were Skorzeny, Atlas Skorzeny, Victor Kozemi, and his relationship to Wolfgang Bollinger, and in turn, noted the relationship of Kozemi to Pietor Avon and Mikhail Friedman. Note also that Mikhail Friedman had ultimately purchased the U.S. trading firm that had previously been used by Mark Rich. We're going to come back to the issue of Mark Rich, his links to Clinton, and his links to a lot of other people as well. Note the links to not only the intelligence community and to the underground Reich and the Bormann Network, but to the Republican Party. So from 2006, here is an excerpt of For the Record 573.
One of the things that makes investigating 9/11 and the things that led into it and the things that come out of it so difficult is that the institutions fuse elements of the overworld and elements of the underworld, and there could be no more revealing element of fusion than the Alpha Group. It has many different corporate faces, including Crown Alpha, the Alpha Capital Markets, Alpha Group Consortium. And one of the things to note is that one of Mohammed Atta's closest associates, a German pilot named Wolfgang Bollinger, was the personal pilot for many years for a very, very powerful and ruthless Eastern European criminal named Victor Kozeny, K-O-Z-E-N-Y, nicknamed the Pirate of Prague. Kozeny had more connections than a switchboard, apparently a very charming individual who was able to use his charm and his entrepreneurial sense to scam all kinds of people, including some very powerful people in the United States. Victor Kozeny, whose pilot was Mohammed Atta's close German associate Wolfgang Bollinger, Victor Kozeny is one of the many people involved with Alpha Group. And one of the things that's so interesting about seeing the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft overlapping Alpha, which has numerous criminal undertakings, is that Alpha Group's is represented, its PR representative in the United States is the powerful lobbying firm of Barber, Griffith, and Rogers. Barber is Haley Barber, the GOP governor of Mississippi, the head of New Bridge Strategies, one of the major contractors for rebuilding Iraq. And Griffith and Rogers are also key Republican power brokers. So what we are seeing here is a criminal and economic and political milieu which at one level is involved with drug smuggling and all sorts of nefarious activities, at another level is involved with the September 11th attacks, and at another level is involved with business dealings and political dealings that trace directly to the highest leadership of the Republican Party. So here we go. That's what we've been looking at. Again, some of the names to remember here is the association between Mohammed Atta and Wolfgang Bollinger and the relationship between Wolfgang Bollinger and Victor Kozeny. As I've stated so many times, please use the descriptions on the Spitfire website because they will flesh out your understanding of these very, very very complicated connections. Now, the following is from a PR newswire from CorpWatch. This was originally apparently a Forbes magazine article. The full URL for this will be on the description for the program, For the Record 573. Defendants' tentacles reach into and injure numerous Americans. This is from June 9th. Russian corporation Alpha Group Consortium and its U.S. entity, Alpha Capital Markets Incorporated, are a criminal enterprise that has used U.S. banks and stock exchanges as an integral part of their theft schemes, costing American taxpayers and stockholders hundreds of millions of dollars, IPOC International Growth Fund Limited alleges in a federal racketeering lawsuit filed late Thursday. The suit alleges that Alpha, again, that's spelled A-L-F-A, the suit alleges that Alpha, one of the largest business conglomerates in the Russian Federation, along with Russian oligarch Mikhail Friedman and U.S. citizen Leonid Rozetskin, engaged in a vast international money laundering and fraud scheme in an attempt to take control of the Russian cellular industry. By doing so, defendants' conduct has had a substantial effect on the United States and its citizens, and much of the criminal conduct occurred in the United States, the suit filed in U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York said. The criminal enterprise affected Americans, U.S.-based investors, and U.S. interests in numerous ways, the complaint alleges, involving the evasion of U.S. taxes, insider trading of shares on U.S. stock markets, and wiring payments through New York banks. The Alpha Group Consortium received support from the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, a U.S. government development agency, to provide a significant portion of funding for one of Alpha's related businesses. The complaint alleges that the racketeering and other wrongs cited in this case hurt U.S. investors, U.S. taxpayers, and U.S. financial markets, said W. Gordon Dobie, D-O-B-I-E, an attorney with Winston & Strawn, LLP, which filed this case for IPOC International Growth Fund Limited. Quote, "It's my opinion that the defendants should be called to account in court for their conduct." The complaint also alleges that Rozetskin and Friedman were assessed by Hans Bodmer, B-O-D-M-E-R, who served as escrow agent and sent instructions to IPOC to wire money through banks in New York for the benefit of the defendants. Bodmer recently pled guilty to criminal conspiracy to launder money and conspiracy to violate the U.S. Foreign Corrupt Practices Act in connection with an unrelated scheme to bribe foreign leaders. And as we'll see, Bodmer also is connected to Victor Kozeny, who's connected to Wolfgang Berlinger, who's connected to Mohammed Atta. And then a note to editors. IPOC International Growth Fund Limited is an open-ended mutual fund company based in Bermuda. The suit, based on claims under the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations, or RICO Act, charges that Friedman conspired with Rozetskin to steal IPOC's interest through money laundering, bribery, wire fraud, and other criminal wrongdoings. Other defendants are Alpha Capital Markets Incorporated, a U.S. corporation, Alpha Telecom, NKA Altimo, and Hans Bodmer. Alpha Group Consortium is an association of various companies controlled by Friedman. It controls major international corporations traded in the United States, including Vimpel.com, New York Stock Exchange, Russia's second-largest mobile telecoms company, Golden Telecom, NASDAQ, and Turkcell, New York Stock Exchange. For more information about IPOC, go to I won't read you the whole URL. It'll be in the description. And there is information about IPOC and some of the information about the defendants in this lawsuit. A copy of the lawsuit is being posted on this website June 9th. The many ties to the United States, as the lawsuit states, defendants' tentacles reach into and injure numerous Americans. The investors, taxpayers, and financial markets of the United States have been harmed. The below sets out the individuals and firms referred to in the lawsuit and provides some further information. The defendants. Leonard Rozetskin. Defendant Leonard Rozetskin is a former director and principal shareholder of LV Finance Group Limited, LVFG. He is a United States taxpayer and citizen, owns property in the district, and lived in the district for more than a decade. Featured on the Russian edition of Forbes with the title "The Most Dangerous Shark in Our Waters," Rozetskin resides in the United States. Parenthetically, you know, as I was reading this, a thought just occurred to me. The American who publishes the Russian edition of Forbes was murdered earlier this year. I wonder if that just might have something to do with this. Anyway, this is an interjection on my part. It just occurred to me as I was reading this. Who knows? As yet, it appears to me that, as far as I can tell, that murder has not been solved. There have been a lot of nasty killings in Russia. But I wonder if he was greased because of this, the publicity on this particular lawsuit. It would not surprise, because as we'll see, this octopus runs in many directions. It runs to really powerful, deadly criminal elements, heroin traffickers, all kinds of nasty stuff. It also runs to some very powerful, very prestigious interests around the world. Alpha Group, at the core of this octopus, sort of the octopus from which these tentacles radiate, is represented in the United States. Its American PR firm is Barbara Griffith and Rogers, a direct outgrowth of the highest levels of GOP power broking. And among the many, many, many personages who overlap Alpha are people like Victor Kozeny, whose pilot was Wolfgang Barringer, Mohammed Atta's German, quote, brother, unquote. So who knows? Perhaps that's why focusing attention on this, maybe that's why the American-born Russian publisher of Forbes, or publisher of the Russian edition of Forbes, got greased earlier this year. Who knows? Beginning again here. Speaking of Leonard Rozitskin, he is a United States taxpayer and citizen, owns property in the district and lived in the district for more than a decade, featured on the cover of the Russian edition of Forbes with the title "The Most Dangerous Shark in Our Waters." Rozitskin resides in the United States. Hans Bodmer. Defendant Bodmer assisted Rozitskin and Friedman with the Sonic Duo Megafon theft scheme, worked with his co-conspirators to send instructions to IPOC to wire money through banks in New York for the benefit of the defendants. Bodmer is no stranger to criminal prosecution in the United States, having recently pled guilty to the criminal conspiracy to launder money and conspiracy to violate the United States Foreign Corrupt Practices Act in connection with the scheme to bribe foreign leaders, along with Victor Kozeny, who is currently being extradited to New York from the Bahamas. And then the case number, the docket number for this is listed, and this will be in the description for the program. So please note again, and by the way, I can appreciate that this is one of those programs where the description is going to be essential. And as is the case with many of the things that I focus on in this investigative series, be aware that if this is confusing, if it's frustrating, it is supposed to be confusing and frustrating. It is supposed to defeat the most sophisticated regulatory and law enforcement entities on Earth. These are criminals, and they are engaging in this criminal activity in conjunction with some of the most powerful and most prestigious elements in the world, including the United States. And if one begins following the various evidentiary tributaries that runs from this nexus, one comes to, among other elements, some of the 9/11 conspirators. So if this appears opaque, it's supposed to be opaque. If it's confusing to you, don't sweat it. It's supposed to be confusing to people with much greater resources than the average citizen. So, again, that's a caveat under the circumstances, because I can appreciate that some of this is just mind-boggling. It's supposed to be unintelligible to the average person. It's not supposed to see the light of day. It is supposed to be hidden. These folks are conspirators, and there really isn't too damn much theoretical about their conspiracies, folks. So, but again, if some of this is dizzying, it's supposed to be dizzying. These are people who are doing really evil things in conjunction with some really powerful and prestigious elements, and they are getting away with a great deal, including murder. Okay? Now, resuming again and repeating the last segment, Bodmer is no stranger to criminal prosecution of the United States. That's Hans Bodmer, part of the Alpha criminal conspiracy as alleged in this lawsuit. Bodmer is no stranger to criminal prosecution in the United States, having recently pled guilty to the criminal conspiracy to launder money and conspiracy to violate the United States Foreign Corrupt Practices Act in connection with the scheme to bribe foreign leaders, along with Victor Kozeny, who is currently being extradited to New York from the Bahamas. Victor Kozeny's pilot, Wolfgang Barringer, Mohammed Atta's German, quote, brother, unquote. Other defendants, Mikhail Friedman. Defendant Mikhail Friedman currently serves as chairman of the board of directors of co-conspirator Alpha Bank and as chairman of the board of directors of defendant consortium Alpha Group. Friedman further served on the board of Vimpel.com, a New York Stock Exchange company, and has control over Golden Telecom, a NASDAQ company purchased the United States trading firm owned by American Mark Rich, the one-time commodities baron pardoned by President Clinton with much controversy. Friedman purports to have become a philanthropist in the United States and is a member of the board of the Council on Foreign Relations based in New York. I've heard it disputed that he's actually a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. On the other hand, that is up in the air and not really all that important, by the way. Mark Rich was the commodities trader whose many activities overlap both the Iran-Contra and Iraqgate affairs. More of the defendants. Pyotr Avin, by the way, and he is another of the close associates of Viktor Korzeny. Viktor Korzeny's pilot was Wolfgang Borringer, Mohammed Atta's German, quote, brother, unquote. Pyotr Avin. Defendant Pyotr Avin also has been a major participant in the scheme and worked directly with Rozetskin and Friedman in the misappropriation and theft of IPOC monies. Avin is a director of Golden Telecom, a NASDAQ company which regularly files with the United States Securities Exchange Commission. He is a controversial figure. As observed by the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, a Russian corruption task force informed the government that Avin was engaged in various misdeeds, including drug trafficking. And now we get to one of the really, really interesting parts of this particular line of analysis, and that is, we've seen the malefactors, we've seen the criminals, we've seen the evildoers whose activities overlap the activities of Mohammed Atta and the 9/11 hijackers in Florida. Now, we're going to take a look at who represents this alpha group publicly. And bear in mind that one of the fellowship programs on the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft website is the Alpha Fellowship. And among the people here, now we're going to take a look at who does the PR work for Alpha. It is Barber, Griffith, and Rogers. That's Barber as in Haley Barber, the GOP governor of Mississippi, head of New Bridge Strategies, a major player in the Iraq reconstruction activities and the attendant multi-billion-dollar ripoffs that have been going on there. And also Ed Rogers, one-time deputy assistant to President George H.W. Bush, who is married to Edwina Rogers, former associate director of the White House's National Economic Council. And also Lanny Griffith. After Lanny Griffith managed the first President Bush's 1988 campaign in the southern states, Bush appointed him as special assistant to the President for Intergovernmental Affairs. Griffith then served as Bush's assistant secretary of education from 1991 to 1993, and at that point, after leaving the first George Bush administration, meaning George the first, not the two administrations of George the second, but the elder George, after leaving the administration of the elder George Bush, he joined Haley Barber's lobby shop. So you've got basically Lanny Griffith and Ed Rogers along with Haley Barber, and it is this PR firm that is representing the most unsavory alpha group in the United States. So we are seeing the transition from the underworld to the overworld and the glittering names of Republican power politics. Continuing here. The Alpha Group conducts such significant and varied business in the United States that it has actually found it to be in its interest to spend millions of dollars courting the American political elite through Washington, D.C.-based lobbying firm of Barber, Griffith, and Rogers, LLC, which lobbies Congress and others in Washington on its behalf. In addition to using his lobbying firm, Alpha Group has retained Edward Rogers' Washington, D.C.-based investigative, unquote, firm, Diligence Incorporated, which has criminally misappropriated IPOC information as described further below. Now, this gets interesting as well, and it also begins to highlight one of the really confounding investigative elements, and that is the privatization of national security. People involved in the government, whether military officers or CIA or FBI or DIA agents, whatever, they don't make nearly as much money as a lot of people whose dirty work they wind up doing or whose bidding they wind up doing. And oftentimes, when they leave government service, they go to work for some of these powerful corporations, continuing to ply the highly developed skills that they had exercised on behalf of the national security establishment, but for much higher pay. Now, Ed Rogers' investigative firm, Diligence Incorporated, is alleged in this lawsuit to have illegally misappropriated documents from IPOC, the group that has filed this lawsuit against Alpha. And what the allegation here is that former U.S. intelligence agents and former British intelligence agents working for Diligence Incorporated posed as active duty agents in order to get documentation from IPOC. Now, again, Ed Rogers is part of Barbara Griffith and Rogers. It is his investigative firm, Diligence Incorporated, which is discussed in the allegation from the court documents. Defendants have also paid U.S.-based Diligence Incorporated to steal IPOC property in Bermuda. Indeed, at the Friedman MC Enterprises direction, Diligence bribed officials of an accounting firm and or otherwise misappropriated IPOC property. More specifically, Diligence Incorporated describes itself on its website and in its press releases as a company comprised of former Central Intelligence Agency and British MI5 operatives that specialize in obtaining non-public or hard-to-get information on corporations. Unquote. And then there's a website here, that the Diligence website, which is noted, that will be in the description. Diligence Incorporated is owned in part by Edward Rogers, who has also been paid millions by defendants to lobby Congress and consult for Alpha. In violation of 18 U.S.C. Section 912, and at Defendant Alpha's instructions, Diligence Incorporated posed as United States agents acting under the authority of the United States to misappropriate IPOC information from an accounting firm. Defendants further violated 18 U.S.C. Section 913 by searching IPOC property while falsely representing through Diligence Incorporated to be agents of the United States. By doing so, defendants have had an effect on the United States. And then there, the ruling is available on online, and again, all of the URLs for this information will be available in the description for the program. Now, let's go back and let's take a look at some of the other many connections of Haley Barbour, the Republican governor of Mississippi, whose PR firm handles the PR work for the insidious Alpha group in the United States, and one of his partners, Ed Rogers, like Lanny Griffith, inextricably linked with the GOP power hierarchy. Diligence Incorporated is alleged in this lawsuit to have conducted some illegal activities on behalf of Alpha. We're going to go now to the description for the Record 433, and we're going to take a look at some of the other business partners of New Bridge Strategies. Now, that is Haley Barbour's firm that is involved with some of the activities involved in, quote, rebuilding, unquote, Iraq. And an article from The Nation magazine, Strange Bedfellows, the AIQ Albunia Bechtel links, we read, one reason the Bush administration gave for going to war in Iraq was Saddam Hussein's alleged ties to terrorists, so it is ironic that one of the partners in a big Iraqi firm being used by U.S. contractors in Iraq is also a founding partner in an organization that's been identified as helping to fund al-Qaeda. So far, however, neither the government nor the contractors have shown much concern. Sadoun Albunia is one of three principals in one of Iraq's oldest companies, the Albunia Trading Company. The Iraqi firm has become a major subcontractor for U.S. firms working under U.S. government contracts in Iraq, but as documents obtained by The Nation from the Lugano office of the Swiss Federal Commercial Registry show, Sadoun Albunia is also a founding partner of a Swiss-registered firm called the Malaysian Swiss Gulf and African Chamber, or MIGA, which the U.S. government and the United Nations Security Council have designated as funders of al-Qaeda. MIGA is one of 14 businesses controlled by Ahmed Idris Nasreddin and Youssef M. Nada, then Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill said in an August 29, 2002 news release that businesses in the Nasreddin network, quote, appeared to be providing a clandestine line of credit to a close associate of Osama bin Laden, and as of late September of 2001, Osama bin Laden and his al-Qaeda organization received financial assistance from Youssef M. Nada. Agreeing with that assessment is Bechtel, which signed up with the Albunia Trading Company as its first, is skipping down, by the way, I should say. Beginning again. Agreeing with that assessment is Bechtel, which signed up the Albunia Trading Company as its first Iraqi subcontractor to work on the reconstruction of Iraq's Almat Bridge. Another firm with close ties to the White House that's angling to help clients win Iraq contracts, GOP lobbyist Haley Barbour's New Bridge Strategies, proudly announces on its website that its local partner in a consortium bidding on a contract is, quote, led by the Albunia family, who are a leading commercial group in Iraq with over 80 years' experience in that country. And again, that is Haley Barbour, as in Barbour, Griffith, and Rogers, as in Diligence, as in Alpha, as in Victor Corzeny, as in Wolfgang Boringer, as in Mohammed Atta, as in living bloody damned hell itself.
That again, from For the Record, 573, Alpha Males, Part 2, One Hell of a Conspiracy Theory, Part 2. And the Franklin Foyer article has been roundly attacked. He now has a follow-up piece which substantiates, reinforces the technical information in the article. But again, neither Franklin Foyer nor his critics, in my opinion, seem to have any real inkling of what is going on here. They don't understand Alpha Bank, which again has more connections than a switchboard, including to any number of major Republican political figures.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
An example of the, quote, discreditation, unquote, Washington Post, November 1st of 2016, article by Philip Bump, that secret Trump-Russia email server link is likely neither secret nor a Trump-Russia link. It says, Foyer mentioned in his piece that the New York Times was investigating the link. On Monday, the paper reported that the FBI had looked into and dismissed the idea that the two servers represented a direct communications channel. Investigators, quote, concluded that there could be an innocuous explanation like a marketing email or spam for the computer contacts, the Times' Eric Lichtblau and Stephen Lee Myers reported. Note that they say there could be. The criticisms of the technical information, which, by the way, these formidable computer experts have reinforced in Franklin Foyer's follow-up piece, say, nope, no innocuous explanation. They're saying that there could be an innocuous explanation. Well, I think there is reason to take a close look at this. From Vanity Fair of November 1st of 2016 by Emily Jane Fox. Is somebody at the FBI trying to throw the election? Skipping down. A subheaded, a series of tweets from a long-dormant FBI Twitter account suggest an ulterior motive. Now, skipping down, now a new interagency mystery is raising questions about whether the FBI has become politicized just days before the presidential election. On Sunday, a long-dormant FBI Twitter account suddenly sprang to life, blasting out a series of links to case files that cast the Clintons in a decidedly negative light. Then on Tuesday, skipping down again, the FBI Records Vault account, which had not tweeted at all between October 2015 and Sunday, published a link to records related to the 15-year-old long-closed investigation into former President Bill Clinton's pardoning of one-time commodities trader turned fugitive Mark Rich. And please note that, note again, that Mark Rich, his company, was purchased by Mikhail Friedman, as we looked at and as we will have in the description, who was part of the Alpha conglomerate and who was associated with Victor Kozemi, who employed Wolfgang Bollinger, one of Mohammed Atta's German associates, in South Florida. In For the Record program number 5, Thursday, again from October of 2016, we noted an AP story which mentioned that the Mark Rich operation was going to be sold to the Alpha conglomerate, but that deal fell through. Note that Mikhail Friedman of Alpha did ultimately purchase Mark Rich's company. Note the following also, this from CNN of January 30th of 2016 by Gregory Krieg, K-R-I-E-G. Who is James Comey? 7 things to know about the FBI director. He notes here that James Comey was a counsel on the Senate Whitewater Committee that was stirring up non-existent fresh fertilizer about the Clintons that eventually led to the Lewinsky scandal. Skipping down, note this. In 2002, Comey, then a federal prosecutor, took over an investigation into President Bill Clinton's 2001 pardon of financier Mark Rich, who had been indicted on a laundry list of charges before fleeing the country. Skipping down. The kicker. Comey himself had overseen Rich's prosecution between 1987 and 1993. Comey ultimately decided not to pursue the case when investigating the Clinton pardon in 2001. The point being that when suddenly the FBI's Twitter account came to life, pinging or sending out information about the Mark Rich case, it is something that is, on the one hand, directly connected to Alpha, and on the other, connected to former Mitt Romney supporter James Comey, a long time persecutor, shall we say, of the Clintons. There is much more to this. Please use the description for this program and for other shows. This concludes For the Record program number 9930, The Trump and Confabanda Part 9, Alpha Males Part 3, German Ostpolitik Part 3, being recorded on November 4th of the year 2016.